Just pray that you would help us this morning, despite the heat and the humidity, and just help us to focus on your word and receive what you have for us by the Spirit this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans chapter 11, we're going to look at this morning. Just going to read through it. Next slide. I say then, has God cast away His people? Certainly not. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away His people whom He foreknew. Or do you not know what the Scripture says of Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what does the divine response say to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. Next slide. See if these guys can keep up. What then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Just as it is written, God has given them a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear to this very day. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they do not see and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now if their fall is riches for the world and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Next slide. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry, if by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and save some of them. For if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. And the next slide. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said. Because of unbelief, they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, He may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell. Severity, but toward you goodness, if you continue in His goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? And the next slide. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the Deliverer will come out of Zion, and He will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Next slide. For as you were once disobedient to God, yet have now obtained mercy through their disobedience, even so these also have now been disobedient, that through the mercy shown you, they also may obtain mercy. For God has committed them all to disobedience, that He might have mercy on all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become His counselor? Or who has first given to Him and it shall be repaid to Him? For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. All right, oh, there's our map. I don't know if you can see it on there. I thought I put a little arrow or something on there, a little red arrow right about where Israel is. Might not be able to see it up there. Might not be too obvious. Why should we care about Israel? I mean, look how tiny that country is. The arrow I put up there is two or three times bigger than the landmass of the country. I pretty much covered over Israel, I think. And I mean, look at Canada and the United States and Brazil, Australia, China, Russia, these big countries. Those are the countries we should care about, right? Why should we care about such a tiny, insignificant, and frankly troublesome little country? All they do is cause trouble over there. So why should we care about them? Well, next slide. We have to care about them because God has not abandoned Israel. He's not finished with His plan for the Jewish people. Romans 11:29, God's gifts and calling are irrevocable, which means He doesn't take them back and they can't be changed or altered in any way. They're permanent. Once they're issued. And God doesn't take them back. Doesn't change them. Now, as a parent, I might give my kids permission to do something and then, for some reason, think better of it and I might change my mind. And I might say, no, no, I don't want you to do that, sorry. And they'll say, well, that's not fair, you said. And I'll say, too bad, so sad. That's just the way it is. Because I'm your dad. But with God, the gifts and the calling are never taken back. Never revoked. Now, we might fail to act on them. We might not use them responsibly. We may even abuse them or waste them, but they're not ever taken back. Once God gives gifts, they're given permanently. When He issues a calling, you're called permanently. I just want to make a little note. this verse is a favorite verse when you're teaching about gifts in the charismatic church, the spiritual gifts for the individual. But just note that the actual context of the verse has to do with a nation, with a whole people, with Israel. And that's the context. Always has been the context, always will be. Has to do with the gifts, the calling of a nation. And it's worth thinking about, what are the gifts and the calling of America? What are the gifts and calling of Mount Zion Church? It's not just what are my spiritual gifts, but what is the gifts and the calling of the church? But back to Israel. The things that we have witnessed in modern history with regard to Israel are not the accidental twists and turns of fate or history. It's not simply the heroic efforts of men or the misguided efforts of men, which there are different viewpoints on that, to create the modern state of Israel in their biblical homeland. It's not simply what men have done. It's the hand of God. The hand of God intervening in the affairs of men today. Because the fact of Israel's existence is so improbable. If you studied at all the history of the events that happened to bring about the modern state of Israel, so improbable, so unlikely, as to be impossible. And has it ever happened to any other nation on the face of the earth that a people that were scattered for nearly 2,000 years are brought back together in their ancestral, God-given homeland? Especially when you have all the forces and the opinions of governments and institutions and other vested interests against it. And yet it happened. Happened anyway. It is impossible except God. Nothing is impossible with God. It's His specialty. Something else to remember whenever you're faced with something that seems impossible. When you're convinced that you really need something or something has to happen in a certain way and yet it seems impossible, but it's the only way forward, the only way that you can continue, it's just got to happen or the story's over. Well, God can do things like that. He can do things like that with individuals. He can do things like that with nations. If you're thinking that America is just impossible, hopeless, going down the tubes, not impossible with God. Well, who believed before it happened that Israel would come to be a nation again? Unless you specifically believe biblical prophecy, you couldn't imagine it. That the Jews would return to their homeland again fulfill prophecies concerning their return from exile that was foretold by Moses 3,400 some years ago, Isaiah 2,700 and some years ago, Jeremiah 2,600 or so years ago. These guys, thousands of years ahead of time, prophesied these events. And we should take that into consideration, that as surely as these things happen, that every word of promise uttered by the prophets about Israel's future glory, about Israel's ascension to the head of the nations, Israel being the site of Christ's return and His reign on earth, His physical, visible, literal reign, every word will be completely fulfilled. And every unbeliever will be totally rebuked. These things will come to pass. Okay, we're ready for the next slide. Jesus said, you can learn a parable from the fig tree. When the branch has become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. And so you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. And that, of course, from Matthew 24, where he was talking about all the things the disciples had asked him, what is the sign of all these things in the end, and the glory of Israel and all of that. And Jesus gave him a whole chapter on it. But there are things that you can perceive, signs. That when you see those things, recognize the rest of it's coming. You see the trees start to get leaves. Hey, it's spring, summer's coming. And in Luke, where he says, now when these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your heads, your redemption draws near. Which specifically refers to the return of Christ and to our first, the bodily resurrection of the believers. And of course, many scholars say the fig tree in Scripture represents Israel. So keep your eye on Israel and the things going on there, and keep looking up. The end is nearer than it's ever been before. Now my question was, why should we care about Israel? Those are some reasons to care about Israel. We should also care about Israel and the Jews because our salvation, our faith, our relationship with God comes through the Jews. All those guys back there, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Joshua and Samuel, David, Solomon, I got a whole list of them here, all the way up through John the Baptist, Jesus, Peter, Paul, all those guys, Jews, Hebrews, some of them Hebrews of the Hebrews. All members of that race, that peculiar, stiff-necked, stubborn people, beloved of God, chosen to receive the promises, the covenants, and the Messiah on our behalf. So we owe them a debt of gratitude. And it's not too early to start paying up. Well, the whole aim of what Paul's been saying in Romans through the whole letter, over and over again, is to say that righteousness is by faith and not by the law. Salvation is a gift by grace through faith. It's not a reward for works. And his aim was to show both Jews and Gentiles, both religious and non-religious folks, what their true standing is. You're all sinners, condemned by the law. Whether that law is written on tablets of stone or it's written on your own conscience. All sinners, all condemned, but saved by grace through faith in Christ. And set free from sin, the power of sin by the power of the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us and gives us a new heart and a new spirit. And so he comes to kind of the summation of all his thinking so far when he gets to verses 30 through 35 in Romans 11 there, and that's the next slide. Look at those verses again. For as you were once disobedient to God, yet have now obtained mercy through their disobedience. As you Gentiles were once disobedient, yet have now obtained mercy through the Jews' disobedience, even so these also have now been disobedient, that through the mercy shown to you, they also may obtain mercy. For God has committed them all, Jews and Gentiles, in disobedience, that He might have mercy on all. And then he comes to that exclamation, oh, the depths. Who can figure this out? Who can ever totally comprehend or understand God? Unsearchable as ways past finding out. Just amazing. All. Committed all. Given up all. Surrendered all to disobedience. Everyone, the whole human race. Great and small, rich and poor, black and white, young and old, everyone, Jew and Gentile, been given over to disobedience, allowed to go their own way. Have your own free will. Why? Was God throwing up His hands in despair? Is He saying, I just give up on you people. Just go do whatever you want because I'm just tired of even trying to deal with you. So go do whatever you want. Go burn in hell for all I care. Is that how God was thinking? No, there was something far more profound and wonderful and amazing and incomprehensible. It was so He could have mercy on all. Everyone. Mercy. I think that's another slide. There it is. Mercy. Big. Bold. Have you ever thought of yourself as an object of mercy? Not pity. Pity is a feeling. Mercy. Mercy is an action. It's a decision. It's a judgment. We've been judged, and the verdict is mercy. I sentence you to mercy. Mercy is God's heart towards man. His real heart of hearts. It's His plan. It's His attitude, His posture at all times towards us is mercy. He delights to have mercy on us. And so we run into verses like, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. And do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Mercy for the Gentiles, mercy for the Jews, mercy for everyone. All you have to do is simply believe it and receive it. Irrevocable mercy. Although we don't want to be like the people of Israel, of whom God says, all day long I held out my hands to a stubborn and disobedient people. Back in chapter 10. Just don't be like that. But who can fathom this kind of thinking? The reaches of God's plan. I'm going to let everyone go their own way so that I can have mercy. So that I can do something for them they can never do for themselves. All you can do in the face of that is just fall on your knees and worship. Hallelujah. Okay, next slide. Shifting gears just a little bit when we get to this verse. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. We've talked about back in Romans 8 where it says that all things work together for good. And ultimately, all things work together for good because all things are from Him and through Him and to Him. All emanates from Him, flows through Him, returns to Him. The entire universe, everything in creation, everything that's ever been, ever will be, He created it, He's in control of it, He's determining how it's going to end up. And it all flows to His ultimate purpose and glory. There's no one and there's nothing that stands outside of His control or independent of Him. Nothing. His plan, His purpose will prevail. He will have His way even with all the things that seem contrary and disobedient. Like us. Even us. There's kind of a little bit of rebuke here for those of us who are always afraid that the plan has gone awry. You ever feel that way? Oh no! God's lost control. He doesn't have all the bases covered. He must have forgot something, or He didn't have all the information. I've got to help God out. He's got Himself in a box and He doesn't know how to get out. I've got to help Him. What would God do without our supervision? If we didn't have control of everything for Him, if we didn't pray it all out just the way He's got to do it, Relax. Next slide. That's on. Oh yeah, Psalm 46. Just relax and have faith. Be still and know that I am God. I will bring peace. I will bring justice to the earth. I will fulfill my word and my plans in my way, in my time. But it will happen. Next slide. Just relax and trust it. Good old hymn there. All you have to do is trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. So Peter, not that Peter, Peter in the Bible. Just relax, brother. Feed my sheep. Don't worry about what's going to happen to John and all the other disciples. That's not your business. Just feed my sheep. Let me worry about the rest. Just do your part in the body. Don't worry about all the other parts. Let me tell people what they're supposed to be doing. Just do your part of my will. Just do your part of the Great Commission, not everyone else's. Just walk out your calling, not someone else's, not your brothers or your sisters. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. Not just some things. Not just half of everything. Not just 3/4 of everything. Not even 99% of everything. All things. Can you believe that? Receive that. Because then you won't be quite so tied up in knots all the time about, well, oh, the country's going down the tubes and things are just not good and the church is so misguided and the president is all wrong and if this election doesn't happen just the way I want, oh, it'll just be bad and the carpet in the sanctuary is the wrong color and, oh, I guess there isn't any carpet in this sanctuary and... So-and-so hurt my feelings when they said such and such. And oh, it's just, life is just, no. You don't have to go there. Because I know a secret. Hallelujah. Everything's under His control. It's all going His way. And it won't matter all that much if the Lord returns before the Great Tribulation, or in the middle of the Great Tribulation, or after the Great Tribulation. He is coming back. And He will set everything right. So when you're watching the news and you have the angry pundits on one side saying, things have to happen this way, or it's no good. And the angry pundits on the other side say, no, things have to happen this way, or it's no good. It's absolutely critical how this election goes. We've got to get our candidate elected, or the country is down the tubes. Oh, it's too late. That happened on Thursday. That Supreme Court decision. Obviously. Country's lost. It's gone forever. No. the fate of the free world does not depend. The fate of the universe does not depend on how this election goes or which way you vote in it. Now, the election is important, yes, and it's probably a good thing as citizens exercise our responsible privilege of voting, but let's keep it in perspective. We can live with confidence, and we can pray with confidence, and we can vote our conscience with confidence because we believe that the words of a certain old spiritual are true. Last slide. You guys fall asleep up there? There we go. He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands. Do you believe that? He's got the whole world in His hands. All the whole ball of wax. All our circumstances, all our troubles. And His promise is He will never leave us, never forsake us. He will keep us in His hands. No matter how the election goes, no matter what the Supreme Court says or what else happens in the world, He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got us in our hands. It's His. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank You that You are so good and so gracious and that You love us so much. Lord, there are circumstances that we go through, things that we endure, troubles that we have, things that throw us for a loop, that get us all disconcerted, things that are indeed painful and difficult. But I thank You, Lord, that in all those things You are with us. And the things that You don't deliver us from, You walk through them with us. But You are always with us. And all things are working out for good according to Your purpose, Your plan. And I thank You, Lord, that there are signs in the earth today that we can take hope that Your return is near. May it be so, Lord. Return quickly, Lord. Come quickly to this earth. We need You. We need every bit of Your help and Your intervention. And we pray that the nations indeed would look up and see You and glorify You. And in the meantime, Lord, give us the faith to perceive that Your glory fills the earth, even when it doesn't look like it, and that all things are in Your hands.